Just going to be rereading what we read last week. So the very familiar passage there and coming from Matthew 6 as we continue on and looking in terms of prayer. So just to reread all that from Matthew 6 and 5 to 13. And this is God's word. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Author Nikki Gumbel, in a little article in her book she has there, that's How and Why I Should Pray, she writes this: "However much he may want to, I do not believe God will answer the prayer of the student who turned in his test and prayed, 'Oh God, please let Paris be the capital of England.'" Or maybe this little story will speak to you from the Prairie Overcomer. A fisherman who was out on a fellowship with the Lord was at sea with his godless companion when a storm came up and threatened to sink their ship. His friends begged him to pray, but he demurred, saying, "It's been a long time since I've done that or even entered a church." At their insistence, however, he finally cried out, "O Lord, I haven't asked anything of you for 15 years, and if you help us now and bring us safely to land, I promise I won't bother you again for another 15 years. Or perhaps this one. A girl prayed, "Lord, I am not going to pray for myself today. I am going to pray for others." But at the end of her prayer, she added, "And give my mother a handsome son-in-law." As you think in terms of prayer, Mary, Queen of Scots, said that she feared the prayers of John Knox more than the efforts of 10,000 soldiers. William Cooper, who wrote hymns that we sing, like "There's a Fountain Filled with Blood," many years ago wrote, "Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees." Another author, Robert Murray McShane, he says, "If I could hear Christ praying for me in the next room, I would not fear a million enemies. Yet distance makes no difference. He is praying for me." And last week we began looking, as we've kind of flowed in terms of talking of all these spiritual things and prayer as being something spiritual, to looking just in regard to prayer and beginning to look at the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6 as part of this Sermon on the Mount that we are familiar with. And I mentioned that this was really given as from Jesus as a pattern of prayer that we can learn from and emulate, and mentioned these categories that I would put this prayer into, in these five categories. The first was acknowledgement, then surrender or submission, provision, and then forgiveness, and deliverance or protection. And I spoke on the first two. I'm going to look at the third here this week, and really just hopefully to get us thinking about what prayer is as this gift from God, and as something that's spiritual and something that really makes that difference in the heavenly realm, so thereby impacting things on earth, as I've been saying. You can see from the title in your bulletin or on the screen there, as I call this, "I Still Believe in Prayer." And I say that also in a sense to just get you thinking even in regard to what you believe in terms of prayer. And as mentioned, from young we really begin to learn how to say the basics of prayer if we went to church. But it's often true that we learn those basics, but sometimes we're not even really sure what prayer is, or in a sense, how to even deal with prayer, especially when we have prayer that goes unanswered. Or you imagine like the funny prayer above, let Paris be the capital of England. And I've mentioned over the years some of the things that I remember praying for that God never answered. And last week I was mentioning in terms of that Volkswagen beetle. There was this one right nice one there, $600, and had Dad convinced, but Mom wasn't really convinced that it would be, I'm not sure if she thought safety-wise or whatever it be, but I was 10. I mean, I was driving like a camp, at least already in my mind. But that's why we have prayer, right? To get what we want, what we really need. And I needed that car. And I remember praying and praying and praying, because I'd learned and going to church, I knew how to pray. And so just praying and praying every night before going to bed and throughout the day, probably adding it to my meal times, especially if I was the one at the table who had to pray out loud, because, you know, maybe Mom didn't want to give in to me, but if God would put the little bit of pressure on her, then somehow he would get her convinced that this kid needed a Volkswagen Beetle, and maybe he would shut up after that. But it wasn't really just that Beetle. At the same time, I remember on my uncle's farm, another uncle had bought this old trailer, about 40 feet long. I think it was being stored there, 35, 40 feet long, about 10 feet wide. Maybe a bit of junky little trailer. I don't know if it was there for storage or he was going to sell it as he lived in the city. Bit run down, but to me as a 10-year-old, that was my dream home. I mean, I could picture them moving it and hauling it over to my parents there, and we had a trailer at that time too still, before just the house was being built following. But I pictured that trailer. I wouldn't have to share a room with my brother anymore. It'd be my own trailer. Fix it up, you know, you'd go to bed in your own house, wake up, shave that peach fuzz off your face in the morning, meander outside, and take a little cruise in my Volkswagen Beetle. You know, as a 10-year-old, I mean, I just, in my mind, this was what the good life was going to be. I think I was drawing pictures, probably posting it on the fridge so Mom wouldn't forget what her dear son was praying for. But it was all in my mind. I was going to fix this up and how this was going to take place. But suffice to say, in all the praying, and that was a kid praying hard, that still 45 years later, I still have not received my Volkswagen Beetle nor my trailer. I mean, God might be still working on it. God's timing is a little different. But the dream has kind of just fizzled and died. And along with all those other hopes and dreams and prayers of a life that could have been, right? A little bit melodramatic. But often isn't that how we feel in terms, even maybe that's a young stage, but somehow we look even when we pray that God isn't giving us what we know would be so good for us. I mean, I'm guessing that times have changed somewhat in terms of some of those basic things, but often in terms of some of this, give me this or give me that, I need this in terms of prayer, that really hasn't changed. And I think possibly that's why Jesus was modeling this prayer for even the people at that time, because it really wasn't much different even in terms of us now. And to somehow just turn people's attention toward God and God's will, as we looked at last week, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That his will would somehow be done on this earth, be done in my life, be done in your life. And the next part of this familiar prayer is one that I really just want to get you thinking about this week in terms of provision. And it's often those simple words that we tack on there, give us today our daily bread. Or maybe as we've learned over the years, you know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, prayer is, I put in this category of provision, of sustenance. And I've been just reflecting over and over on those words in the last number of weeks here. And just trying to think of what they are and what they are not, what they really mean to our lives. And so just even think in your mind here of what that is saying. Give us today our daily bread. Because I read that in terms of that prayer and how often said over the years, and maybe it makes good sense for people back then, right? Maybe, right? In terms, I mean, that's all they really worried about was food. But we have so many more concerns and worries today. Right? I mean, sure, they did have a greater concern for daily bread, and it wasn't easy to get food or have food around, and a lot of work went into it. But maybe in terms, you can think probably way back, some of the seniors for sure can relate to days like that and times where there was that sense of desperation where prayer was coming straight from the heart because you really needed that daily bread. I remember stories from my grandparents who had lived through the dirty 30s in here in Canada. And it was tough. I mean, I've heard stories of how they were just whatever, picking berries, trading things just to get flour, any sense of food, and weren't really looking to take relief. They always figured other people probably needed it more. And a story that really stuck in my mind was one they told of a neighbor who got so low on food and ran out of .22 ammunition that he was going with a shovel and would knock owls that were sleeping in the trees down, and they were eating owls. It stuck in my mind because, you know, I'm thinking even as a kid, well, I liked chicken, but I don't think I would really want to eat an owl. But you think how desperate in terms of all that, that somehow for them maybe that meant even more in terms, give us today our daily bread. But as I look at this and all that it's really saying, there's a sense of a greater provision that it's speaking about, and the provision of more than food, of what we need in those daily needs for our lives, what we need to even get by here on earth. And so I'm thinking as I've been reflecting on that, those simple words, that it's more than just all, it's all those physical needs of life, right? But even beyond that, it maybe goes into the depth of emotional needs and prayers that God would take care of us and that somehow we won't be left lacking in any sense of where we can't begin to get by. A prayer that's there to remind us of our dependence upon Him. And since God, just help us realize that You are the one who provides for us, that You are the one who takes care of us, such that we don't ever get to the point that we no longer are grateful for even those very basics of life that You give us. And somehow that prayer that would focus and remind us of our dependence upon Him, because, I mean, sometimes it's true. We probably get so used to that prayer, and we do even in meals, whatever, that it's not often that we are even hungry, right, with food so readily available. I mean, how often do you really feel that hungry? I mean, I think about it, and probably sometimes my biggest food suffering is when I go to the fridge and you open it, and then you go to the pantry and you look in there and there's no snacks, right? No chips, no cookies, nothing, right? And all I can think is, oh, life is rough. How will I live? I mean, what kind of a world is this I'm living in where there aren't even any snacks available? Actually, I'm not that bad. I'll snack on it, whatever. I mean, I see oatmeal. Yeah, that'll work. How old is that cracker? Yeah, it seems pretty good. I wonder what it tasted like months back. So maybe not with terms of food, but also as you look even in all those aspects of life beyond that, and even if I'm just moderately hungry, still to remind in terms like, thank You, God. I want to be appreciative for this food that You've given. I want to be appreciative for even this, the good water they have, or the house to be able to live in, and this bed that You've given that I can be able to sleep in, like all those basics. That's where this prayer was meant to remind people that dependence on God and the things that have all come and been given to us by Him. There was a couple of weeks back in this one video I was watching, it was an Australian news show, and the newscaster was blasting Greta Thunberg, and maybe you know her name, that climate, young climate activist girl there that's, well, I can only ever take 5 seconds of her. It's always like, we demand this, and no, and you do this, whatever, it goes on. But this was an older guy, and his response is like, really? You're going to demand this from us? I mean, you're the generation where everybody needs a vehicle to get to school. We walked. And he didn't say up hills both ways, but I remember the stories. That's how it went. The generation where everybody needs a phone and everybody needs a TV in the house and another in their bedroom and everybody needs to have these new clothes, and on he went. And it's true, right? I mean, you look back a couple of generations when some of you are young or your parents in terms, and I remember with my grandfather, it changes later on, but especially in the early years, you had one set of boots that worked all year round. They were the big rubber boots. Wintertime came, you just wore extra socks and wrapped rags around your feet and jammed them into the big rubber boots. So times have changed, but it's still, Lord, keep me grateful. Keep me thankful. You don't make me such that I complain when I don't have enough of what I think I should. Or when I somehow think that I deserve so much more that You would forgive me for my ungratefulness. And I know that God will honor that prayer, and in terms, and I'm, you know, glad I'm not fussy really. The food kind of grew up in the day, at least when I was, where you ate it, where I was on your plate, and you didn't complain about it. And I can eat almost anything still today. Sanitary is still nice or whatever. Not looking for it to be my last supper or anything there. But you give me bread and butter still for lunch, like when I was young, a piece of bread and butter, a little cheese, pickle on the side, and that's fine, I'm good. And I often will think in terms that I'm still even grateful for that because others don't have food. Give me today my daily bread. You know, thank you, God, that you provide, and thank you that you love and care for me, and help me always be just grateful and thankful, and to know that you give me what I need. And to keep me just believing in prayer that somehow the prayers that I offer them up to you, that they're making a difference, and that my prayers are not just prayers being tossed up, but that you are looking at my life and all the things that are taking place, and I know that you are meeting those needs, that you are answering, and that you are providing, and that you are taking care of me. Because isn't that a part, you know, in terms that often we begin to look, that there's those unanswered prayers, and is God really even listening? You'll know the name Fanny J. Crosby, an author in a lot of the hymns over the years that we've sang. And there's an interesting unpublished poem that was discovered a couple decades back by her and never made it into really anything there. But it had these very neat words. She said, God does not give me all I ask, nor answer as I pray. But oh, my cup is brimming o'er with blessings day by day. How oft the joy I thought withheld delights my longing eyes. And so I thank him from my heart for what his love denies. Sometimes I miss a treasured link in friendship's hallowed chain, and yet his smile is my reward for every throb of pain. I look beyond where pure joys delight my longing eyes, and so I thank him from my heart for what his love denies. How tenderly he leadeth me when earthly hopes are dim, and when I falter by the way, he bids me lean on him. He lifts my soul above the clouds where friendship never dies, and so I thank him from my heart for what his love denies. Fanny Crosby, January 6, 1899. You know, give us today our daily bread, that sense to even trust and to keep praying, to keep being thankful, keep believing, even when there are things that are happening. Again, this is provision and sense of life in general as we look to all those aspects of our physical lives and even in terms of emotional things, that even when it isn't going how I might expect or how we might expect, that we would still keep believing and trusting that God is good. And to me, that's part of this prayer, that trust that he provides, that he is loving, that he will care for us. And to know and to believe that even in those times when we don't seem to get the answer that we are praying for, the answer that especially we might be just looking for. And when we can't understand why he even allows us to go through what we are going through. And you know, I've said often over the years and speaking at times, at least about healing and praying for healing, that I believe in healing. I believe in a God that can heal. I've seen it in my life in terms of that. And when we take requests most every Sunday, it's always with that belief in mind that God can answer those prayers, that God can heal. But yet, as we would all know in terms of that, that there are those times when healing doesn't happen, at least how we might envision it would. I can't always think, you know, I don't know the why or the why not in terms of this, of sometimes why it happens. But I do trust that God is always doing what is best. And knowing that still somehow just to keep praying for it in terms of that. And, you know, we'll often look at life and it's hard to understand why some people go through so much suffering. Right? Most will have some for sure, but some always seem to have maybe a little more. And almost everybody you'd probably talk to in here would have their own stories of things going through and have gone through in terms. And maybe especially as we age, there's more aches and pains. And you look at the whole of life and people lose spouses and children. And again, there's just some of these things that happen in a world, in this world, right? Living in a sinful and fallen world and things that haven't changed, that hasn't somehow been brought to the fullness of what it will one day be. But still, even as we go through all those things, it's tough, right? I mean, I see changes happening in my parents as they age, and And I can see from 15 plus years being here, it changes in you guys as well, and you probably see it in me, though at least my hair looks the same as when I came. But we see what's going through, and it's tough sometimes even still in terms of watching, because I see it, I feel it, and it feels painful to me even in hearing things that people are going through. And a sense of just releasing as I pray about that and trusting that each and every one of you is in God's care in terms of all that. And the prayer for his help that would just be there for another day for us, is his care for us, that's provision, right? That he would somehow come and care for us as those, even as we pray for, as we lift up in our families maybe, and those who have yet to trust in him there. And somehow that he would work in their lives and to get them to that point. And I see those things in prayer. A lot of what our lives are encompassed as daily bread is all that provision, all that it means as we function here on earth. A prayer of trust, a prayer of dependence that God will take care of us. And as I mentioned in terms of healing, I don't always know why he doesn't heal. And I can look in terms, I don't know why he always doesn't fix a broken relationship and what people go through. I don't know why he doesn't always intervene in someone's life and when people and family members are praying. I don't know why he doesn't always seem to answer what we are hoping he will in terms of that. But again, I just trust that he is doing what is best. In that sense of just hope and prayer that somehow through all these things that we would just keep praying, keep believing in prayer and knowing that he is God and that he loves us, that even when we can't understand some of these things that are happening in life, that we would thank him for what his love even denies. There's a great part to that, right? We don't know in regard to that. Maybe the prayer is sometimes just being answered in a different way. I was telling Rick and Bobby this little story last week there. My story, at least I remembered it with a bear, but found it in a little book as I was looking this week, and it's about a lion. Here's how it goes. A man was being pursued by a roaring, hungry lion. Feeling the beast's hot breath on his neck and knowing his time was short, he prayed as he ran. He cried out in desperation, "Oh Lord, please make this lion a Christian." Within seconds, the frightened man became aware the lion had stopped the chase. When he looked behind him, he found the lion kneeling, lips moving in obvious prayer. Greatly relieved at this turn of events, and desirous of joining the lion in meditation, he approached the king of the jungle. When he was near enough, he heard the lion praying, "And bless, O Lord, this food for which I am exceedingly grateful." True story. Give us today our daily bread and help us, you know, trust even when some of those things are denied. And those prayers that we think you are not answering are perhaps being answered in a little different way, and to know and believe that they are still what is best for us. Bill Hybels, he used to say this about prayer, and he said it was a little outline that he had heard and borrowed from another pastor friend. And I love how it was really phrased, easy to remember. If the request is wrong, God says no. If the timing is wrong, God says slow. If you are wrong, God says grow. But if the request is right and the timing is right and you are right, God says go. And there's a truth in terms we look at all those prayers and just keep praying, keep believing and knowing that God will do what is best for us. As we looked even past from the weeks there in Ephesians 6, it talks about just praying with all kinds of requests and things as we bring them before God. We don't know, but we have to understand and trust and believe as we look, God is doing what is best for our lives. And perhaps that best is different than we perceive it, different than what we are asking for. Maybe it's not meant to be that we're going to have a Volkswagen Beetle and a 40-foot trailer at 10 years old. But doesn't he know better than we do ourselves? Because he knows us better, right? He knows me better, the very depths of everything. He knows those words before they're even prayed from my mouth, those thoughts before they're even formed in my mind in terms as we are told in Scripture. And somehow, again, to trust and believe that fact that he is God and he loves us and would we ever deny us something that would be really, truly good for our lives. And perhaps some of these things are, again, are lessons that come as they remind us to be dependent upon Him, that He is the one who gives provision. As we come, that we know that we really need Him, that we don't forget that in terms there. And that somehow that He would get us so we really focus on Him. And so we trust, again, as we come to pray and keep going. And so always, always, always just keep believing in prayer and knowing that prayer makes a difference and that things on earth are changed by your prayers. Let me just end with one more story, and it's from a magazine called The Cross and the Crown. In the town of Port Hope, Canada, there stands a monument, not for the leading citizen who just died, but for a poor, unselfish working man who gave most of his life and energy to help those who could not repay him. Joseph Scriven was born in Dublin in 1820. In his youth, he had the prospect of a great citizen with high ideals and great aspirations. He was engaged to a beautiful young woman who had promised to share his dreams. But on the eve of their wedding, her body was pulled from a pond into which she had accidentally fallen and drowned. Young Scriven never overcame the shock. Although a college graduate and ready to embark on a brilliant career, he began to wander to try to forget his sorrow. His wanderings took him to Canada, where he spent the last 41 of his 66 years. He became a very devout Christian. His beliefs led him to do servile labor for poor widows and sick people. He often served for no wages. It was not known that Mr. Scriven had any poetic gifts until a short time before his death. A friend who was sitting with him in an illness discovered a poem he had written to his mother in a time of sorrow, not intending that anyone should see it. His poem was later set to music and has become the much-loved gospel song. It is said to be the first song that many missionaries teach their converts. In polls taken to determine the popularity of hymns and gospel songs, his poem set to music is always near the top. What is his poem? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Let's pray. Father, even as we think of these words of this hymn, which we will sing here shortly, it's a reminder of all those things in life and to bring them before you in prayer. And you know, often maybe the things that we don't understand and the pain we bear, that to understand that you are still working there. And Father, beyond even those prayers, that even the things that we have in life that we enjoy, remind us just to be grateful for those. That it doesn't take just those times of starvation or thirst or absolute desperation to make us realize how much you have given to us and how much you have provided. Make us a grateful people, a thankful people. And Father, that even as we look into you and trust, again, knowing that in all these things of life that we are going through, that you love us and that you are caring for us. And that while we may never understand the side of heaven, some of these things that we go through, to know that you are doing still what is best and what is needed in our lives. And that times as we would again just turn to you in prayer, that we would know and to trust and believe that you are a God who hears, a God who cares, a God who answers. And so that we would always turn to you in prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.